94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. I'm Danae and I'm a docker and I'm joined by Morty. Hello, Bomber.
Hello, how are you all?
Oh, going pretty well. How are you, Tiger?
I've come off the bench. I'm not so good. Bit of a wounded tiger tonight, but I'll do the best that I can.
Teamwork. The leadership group is partly here, partly unwell. But firstly, before we even talk about what's on tonight's show, I think we should mention the skipper. So congratulations to Fee and her beloved Renee and the official CTF mascot who arrived this week. Come on, Bree, tell us more.
Yes, so Jackson Joshua Delahunty arrived in the world on Monday evening, and he's absolutely perfect, isn't he, girls?
He just looks incredible, and they said, in one of their posts, they said, we are in love. And I believe, not having had a child myself, but I believe that people don't realise their capacity for love until they have... You know, takes him to a whole another level. So congratulations, we love it.
She, being Fee, loves Hawthorn pretty hard.
She does.
Oh, crazy, love crazy now. Town, yeah. Hard.
And of course, we call the newborn Cyril, but that's not his official name. So, you know, that's neither here nor there. He's Cyril to us.
Number 33, is that Cyril's
yeah,
number?
Yeah, Cyril. Yeah.
Junior boy.
Junior.
So on tonight's show, we will cover all the acronyms. There'll be the AFLW, the AFL-JLT series. We'll talk a bit about SUE and BTM. You don't even know what that is yet.
Well, Sue, is that me? No. No. I'm Susanna. No.
Morty.
BTM. Yeah, I've got no idea either.
Sue, is it a legal thing? Someone in trouble?
Stand-up events.
Oh.
Oh, yes, Angie.
Yeah, yes.
Because there's no Ange, Angela or Angie on the show, nor any Bex, Rebecca's or Dahl's.
Gosh, okay.
On the show later will be Harriet Cordner.
Yep, indeed they will. So, Melbourne football player. Yep. And we're excited to be able to speak to her, so that'll be coming along in about 10 minutes.
Defender,
but yep. Kicked a – well, we'll talk to her about it, but kicked a mighty goal – on Saturday night, so we'll find out where is her favourite place to play.
Yeah, on the ground, I'd say.
Yes. As I said that, I thought that sounds weird, but yeah.
Let's launch into the AFLW wrap for round three. We're almost halfway through the season already. A Friday night, did we start a Friday night or was there no football on Friday?
No, no football Friday.
Wow.
It was three on
Saturday, yep.
And then one Sunday, wasn't it?
Yep.
So, well, you should start because you had your team played first on Saturday.
Well, on Thursday we went to some
of
your pardon. No, you're right. On Thursday some of the chicks went to the launch of Ange Pippos's Breaking the Mold. That's the BTM. And then on Friday we went to Stand Up Events' first birthday party. And in the general discussion with a couple of the gorgeous race sisters from Outer Sanctum, I did float the idea that there might be a draw in my game.
You didn't, did you?
I did, and they can vouch for it.
Wow. Yeah. What made you think that?
Had a feeling.
Gosh.
Soothsayer. I did wonder, you remember how Dennis Pagan has said that a draw is like dancing with your sister?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? So
yeah, I do.
I wonder what he thinks about
was
women having a draw.
Was it dancing with your sister? I think it might have been.
I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
So it was the Giants and the Dockers at the Blacktown International Sports Park, I think it's called. And who knew who was playing in the first quarter because everyone wore white shorts.
I know. And they copped a massive fine.
Ridiculous.
$10,000.
No, it's not ridiculous.
It is, considering that.
Well, it's like, two players in
entire wages.
Yeah, but the players aren't playing it. The club are playing.
Yeah. Anyway, it was Fremantle's fault. No, they should have worn their away strip and it should have been purple and they didn't.
But the only reason I say that I disagree, that I think that they deserved it, is because they, in all accounts, most of the players want to be called footballers, and they want to be treated professionally in the same way that the males are. Now, that's what would have happened to a male team if they'd done the same thing.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
you can't have
can
it.
I just say,
that's all. That's my sort of take on it.
Yeah.
Poor organisation, though, wasn't it?
Very.
I think so.
Very, and they couldn't just go down the street and quickly run back to, you know, to Icon Park or wherever and pick them up.
Well, as it turned out, the Giants had to wear their charcoal shorts, I guess. Anyway, so it was a draw. And for a little while, I thought Fremantle might kick on. I saw more interesting play than I had. Anyway, another injury. Another clash. Those lists are way too short. So the first game on Saturday was a draw, and 7-1 to 6-7. So some goals being scored, so no complaints about the quality of the play. The next game, Brisbane and Collingwood, 4-3 to 3-5, nothing in it.
Did Collingwood not have much of a score till half time? Is that right? Did I see that? And then they came home a little bit, but
I thought the game gone another 90 seconds and I think they would have pinched it.
Would they? Okay. Yep.
Pressure's mounting on Moana.
Yeah. Well, I guess, like you say, Moddy, if they want to talk about being footballers, I think it's unfair that all the focus is on her, and she'll be fine, I hope.
Do you know one thing I think about it is that I think, and I wanted to put this to both of you tonight in terms of what is the difference between the teams that are playing well and those that aren't. Is it coaching? Is it coaching at this point that is separating the team? So is Bec Goddard just killing it? Is the Brisbane coach killing it? And is maybe Collingwood's coach not actually
getting his message through?
Or playing them in the right way? Or Moana's been double-teamed since the first second after the siren in the first match.
Yeah.
Surely they should have someone else down there by now. They should have some other decoy or...
Well, I can't say I've seen enough to know whether they're both playing a spare in defence or how that's working, but you would suggest some of it's game plan, because clearly if Bec Goddard has her Crows undefeated and half her team's in the Northern Territory and half's in Adelaide in between games, where they wave to each other at the airport and then say, see you next week in Perth when we play Fremantle.
And her co-captain, Erin Phillips, who's just taken the whole league by storm, hasn't played the game before.
Yeah. Well, we love Bec Goddard, so yes.
So it's just interesting because everyone's got marquee players, and maybe people didn't quite choose the right ones for their game plans or whatever. I'm just putting it up there. I mean, who knows? But
well, I would have thought when I first saw that Taylor Harris and Sabrina Frederick Traub had both been picked as marquee players for Brisbane, I thought, gee, there's two big forwards. I hope they get it down to them.
Yeah,
but, you know,
point.
They're much better than that. And Frederick Traub is also a ruck. But, yes, Brisbane I'm not surprised by, because Craig Stasovic and Emma Zilke, the captain, have worked together for a long time.
For several years,
yeah. I guess it's player selection and play plans. I don't know. The Melbourne Western Bulldogs game at Witten Oval, the only game in Melbourne over the weekend, Melbourne came back, I thought, and Daisy had been tagged, for want of a better phrase, and came good. So,
oh God, she came good.
She's terrific, isn't she?
I think she's got an awareness that not a lot of the other players necessarily have. And, you know, we talk about
experience
certain male players and midfielders that you just say, you know, they know where the ball is or they know where to position themselves.
Mm.
And I think that's what she does better than a lot of other players in the AFW.
I don't think some of the other teams are far away, though.
There's not much in it, is there?
I mean, the quality of the couple of GWS's games that I've watched have been terrific. So even though they've only had a draw, they could have easily beaten Carlton. They could have easily beaten Fremantle. So they're not that far away. And Carlton, I read an article today, they're really bonding well. And they're not far away from top two either. So
I thought Carlton-Collingwood, that first match that we all went to and just loved, and it will still be one of the best days of my year, I thought it was quite obviously different. I thought Carlton, you could see some sort of game plan, and I think Collingwood were not quite up to that stage yet.
Well, I'm sure they have one not carrying it out.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, maybe all of those things.
And Carlton have another injury.
Yeah, they've got a couple, actually.
Bad ones.
Bad ones, terrible ones. They've lost Sarah Last with a ACL for the rest of the season.
That's bad luck
to Sarah. And they've lost Brianna Davey, who's arguably their best player, with a lower back injury for the next 2 weeks. So they'll be stretched, I think.
Well, they're all stretched. 27 is not a big enough list.
No, you're right.
No. I hope they negotiate that with... we're going to send Rachel to negotiate the broadcast rights, Morty. I don't know if we told you that.
No, you didn't, but I trust her.
Yeah. I think she's a hard-nosed negotiator. And Adelaide and Carlton only had a couple of goals each, but I thought that the conditions affected both games. A couple of games on the weekend. It was really stinking hot in Sydney and it was really windy in Adelaide. I also noticed that the ball didn't bounce back to the players a couple of times. So I'm wondering what's going on with surfaces. But then, you know, if we don't have a conspiracy theory going, Tiger, then what do we do?
It's a bit boring.
Then
isn't
it's
it?
Not just not
it's
football.
Not, it's just not fun.
We've just got a couple of minutes to talk about the AFL JLT series, and we might talk about that again some more when we look forward to next week. But what did you take out of it, Tiger?
So I was really impressed with the Bombers, actually. I thought they showed a lot of promise and a lot of run and dash and daring play. And it was nice to have all of the players back out on the field, Motti.
I just think there was such emotion, and I think that there was such support for... I think Job primarily, all of them, but Job, I think there is a lot of love in the room for him. I watched it. I was going to go, and then my dad said, hey, do you want to come over and watch it at home with your brother and dad's mate, Robbie, and we'll have party pies and watch it on the telly. So we did that, and it was really fun. Like, that's a gang that we gather and watch footy together.
So, yeah, that's good.
So it was really fun doing that. But I'm going to the Essendon season launch tomorrow night. So hopefully a little photo of me and Joe.
Where's that on?
Oh, it's a posho reception centre somewhere.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm.
He was at the stand-up events birthday party on Friday night.
I know, disappointed.
Yeah, well, you can't be everywhere, can you? And any other highlights before?
Just a couple of recruits I noticed that performed well in the first round. I mean, Vickery running out for Hawthorn, he seemed to show a bit in the ruck. Aaron Black running out for Geelong, kicked 4 goals.
So is that Aaron Black from...
North Melbourne.
North. It is him.
Yeah,
okay.
It is him. Nathan Rovat, who formerly played for Bulldogs, playing for North Melbourne. He looked like he could fit straight into their team. And that injury to Sam Day.
Oh.
It's like a car accident. It's terrible.
Oh, it's terrible. A year. Or they're not even sure.
Yeah.
Because it's just never happened.
Oh, I hate talking about injuries.
No, it's terrible already.
Poor fella.
So that's what I noticed out of the first round. Jordan DeGoey is an interesting player.
Isn't he? For Collingwood.
For Collingwood. Yeah. He carved it up.
He really stepped up.
So we'll talk about some of the other things we're looking forward to in the next week or so. But we're going to talk to Harriet Cordner in just a moment.
Hi, this is Motti. You're listening to me on Chicks Talking Footy.
We always laugh about that.
We always get a laugh about that, don't we?
Now, I'd like to introduce our guest for this evening, who's on the phone there, Harriet Cordner from the Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, hi guys. How's it going?
Good, it's going great. And how about you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, look, it's a pleasure. We were just talking about your game a couple of minutes ago, and your second half on Saturday night was fabulous, and you had a great mark and goal. I think was it the end of the first quarter? Your
goal? Just before the first quarter siren.
So does that mean you're playing forward more than back, or where are you playing?
No, I'm mainly playing through the midfield at the moment, actually. Just sort of rotating through there, but I snuck up forward and found myself in the goal square, which was quite exciting.
Well, you weren't alone. I saw Mel Hickey launched herself down there late in the game and kicked one too.
Yeah, she had a good defender's goal in the last third quarter or the last quarter, which was exciting. Everyone, we're sharing the goals around, which is good.
Why not? What a team. So, Harriet, you know, a couple of things about you, obviously, that are perhaps different to other people. One is you are football royalty at the Melbourne Football Club, third generation.
Yes.
Well, you had no choice then, did you?
No. I think I was always destined to go to Melbourne, but was excited to be able to play for them as well. Never really saw that one coming.
And so you never saw it coming because you didn't think football was on your horizon, or you were interested in other sports?
Yeah, I think just growing up, like, it was sort of never, I guess it wasn't the norm for girls to sort of imagine that that was where they'd end up. You could kind of go through the Auskick and junior footy, but you couldn't really let your dreams go any bigger than that, because all you could see was men playing. So I think for that reason I found interest in other sports and went over to athletics and played a bit of basketball and a bit of soccer and all that sort of stuff. And it's only sort of this year that I've been drawn back to footy, and I guess it's expanded much more now, which makes it a lot easier.
Terrific. Harriet Spree here. Thanks for joining us. So we recognise a lot of the players are doing other things outside of football. So how does your week unfold with training, work and study?
Yeah, so I'm still at uni. I'm in my last year of exercise and sports science, which is nice to sort of have a course that, I guess, aligns with some of the stuff that I'm doing at training and the, I guess, physiology behind it all, which is good. But I also am just working part-time, sort of in after-school care. So I pretty much have been lucky that I've been able to balance the three things pretty well over the past 2.5 months. I think I've got some teammates who are working full-time, and for them it's a pretty hefty load to be able to put enough focus on footy that they need to put, but also remain as full-time workers in their jobs. But I think everyone is enjoying it so much and sort of knows the opportunity we've been given, so they really just want to give it their all. Even if it is exhausting at the moment, they can sort of push through and really enjoy it for the 4 months, and then they can, I guess, have a break when it gets to the end of it and kind of get back on their feet in their other aspects of their life.
It's really is evident watching, well, really all of the teams, that there's a lot of joy on your faces, and even when you're crunched at the bottom of a pack or something like that, there's an energy or a fresh energy, I think, and everyone really seems to just be getting absolutely into it and getting the most out of it. And we, as you know, viewers and supporters, are just loving that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely that's something I've noticed from the get-go. The energy has just been incredible around Melbourne. I mean, obviously, I don't know about the other clubs, but it's just been, I think everyone, given the short nature of the season, everyone's of the mindset, you know, we've only got this short amount of time to sort of prove ourselves and to really soak up the atmosphere and the environment and the facilities and all of that sort of stuff that we're being exposed to. So everyone's really just giving it their all for this 4 months, and, you know, hoping that that's enough and that takes off, and then who knows what will happen in the future.
Yeah, we're loving the season, Harriet. Now, Melbourne has an 11:35 a.m. start this week, seems like a very early time to start a football game. And I'm just wondering, have you already, and perhaps it's too early to tell, but do you already have a match day regime?
Yeah, I think we've had all three of our games up until now have been night games, one twilight and two night games, so it's very different.
It is.
I think we're all sort of looking forward to the early start, because I guess you don't have the whole day to sort of sit there and think about the game and have to distract yourself to not, you know, you don't want to play the game before you get there. So I think we're kind of looking forward to it, but it'll probably change our match day routines a little bit. You don't have time to eat 3 or 4 meals before the game. You just sort of want to get one big breakfast in and maybe a snack before you take the field.
Do you have superstitions? Do you have personal superstitions? On a match day?
When I was playing soccer, I had quite a few, but since playing footy, I've tried to eliminate them a little bit and just sort of free myself up a bit and just go out there and play. So no, I don't actually really have any that I could.
Just the four meals.
Right now. Yeah. The food.
Is one of them an egg and bacon roll, Harriet?
It is egg and bacon on toast.
Oh, see? There you go. Who doesn't love an egg and bacon sandwich or egg and bacon roll?
Vegetarians.
Yeah.
Oh,
vegetarians,
that,
of course.
That is my go-to breakfast.
Excellent. Excellent, Harriet. Just one last question. I'm curious because all of the girls we speak to have come across from other sporting disciplines. What's something that you've brought across from soccer?
I think probably just like a competitive nature. I think that, yeah, a lot of people have come from a range of different sports, but the thing that we've probably all had in common is just that sort of will to win and will to learn. So it doesn't really matter what sport you're playing, as long as you sort of bring that, yeah, competitive nature. And I think that shows in the energy that you guys said and a lot of supporters have said that they can see out on the field. It's kind of doesn't matter if you've played for 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, or if it's your first year. It's sort of, you bring that competitive sort of attitude and it'll, you know, get you across the line in a sense.
And Melbourne seemed to have a real cohesiveness as well, which I think it is evident to me watching, but also you.
Yeah.
I was in the rooms 2 weeks ago and you really all came off the field and you were just delighted. You had one, so that always helps. But and your little tiger in there, Lily Mithen, was, you know, she was wrapped.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a credit to the way we recruited. I think they went for really good people, not just good footballers, and that's definitely shown throughout our sort of pre-season campaign. And I also think it was just the way all the staff and the club have run things has really come starting to show on the field in the way we perform, but also you can feel it at training, you can feel it in the rooms before the game and after the game and just all around the club. So it makes it a really good place to be and a really good vibe when you're around there.
Well, I think that you're not alone in loving what you're doing, and you know, and we applaud you for that, and we congratulate you for being in the first year of the AFLW. No one will ever take that away from you. So, Harriet, thank you very much for joining us on air, and we'll hope to chat to you again some other time.
No worries.
Good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you.
Harriet Cordner from the Melbourne Football Club. Oh, I think they're all stars. We've got time to talk about the men for a little while. Next.
Hi, this is Matt Finnis, CEO of the Saints, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on 94.9 Joy FM.
Or just Joy 94.9. As long as they're talking about us, we don't mind. Matt Finnis, we'll see him again for the Pride game in Sydney.
How exciting.
In July. Okay, Chicks, take it away. What's up this weekend?
JLT.
Well, as we discussed, we've had the first round of the fellas pre-season, which was, you know, it was just great, really.
It's just nice to have footy. You know, I love the women's footy and I love the men's footy.
It's wall to wall at the moment, isn't it?
It's wall to wall, isn't it? It's just footy everywhere. I love it.
And I think that, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. All the Essendon players, all those that were involved in the, I don't even know what you call it anymore, the peptide scandal or something or other. Mm-hmm. It was great to see them back on the field. And also this week, Michael Hibbert will come back to Melbourne, and Paddy Ryder will play for Port, and Jake Carlisle will play for the Saints. So that's pretty well a full complement. Angus Monfries is not playing, but otherwise all of them are back out on the park, which must be amazing for them. So
liberating.
Yeah, very, very. And I hope that they get back to their, you know, their original form.
So the Saints and Port kick off the round on Thursday.
Thursday.
Hinkley's come out with some bold statements today saying it's finals or bust for the Port Power this year. So he would be one of the coaches under pressure, I would have thought.
It might be finals or bust for Ken Hinkley.
So Ken, yeah. Mm. Yep, so it was interesting. And then we've got Richmond and Adelaide. Beck hasn't gotten back to me whether she's coming with me, Monty, on Friday night.
She's
a bit
nervous.
Worried.
Nervous.
I think she might be a bit nervous.
The Mighty Tigers. She thinks she's going to be taken down by them.
We are fielding a very strong team.
Well, so would I.
Now that the AFL women are winning, she doesn't want to watch the men.
So tell us about the Tigers. They're your team. Yeah. So tell us, give us some insight on what might happen.
Okay,
there.
So all of our big recruits have been selected. So that's really, really encouraging given that, you know, we've heard all about Dion Prestia's injury-riddled time in the Gold Coast, but he seems to have had a good pre-season. He's ready to go. So they're going to unleash him, Josh Caddy, and our big ruckman, Toby Nankervis, who we got from the Swans.
Yeah, I like
they're
the
all
look
in.
Of him.
Yeah,
big ins for the Tigers. And
I like a ruck chick. you know, ruckman, ruck chick, yeah, whatever. Mm. I like a ruck.
I like a ruck as well.
My favourite part of the game is a boundary throw-in in the forward pocket, because it's all the best of
the
things.
The jostling and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the new rule this year about no third man up will help ruckman.
Yeah.
I hope so. It will.
They're not going to have anyone jumping into their back.
Yeah, genuine ruck contest, won't it?
It'll be back to that. So Maxi Gawn will just kill everyone, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a bit of insight into the Tigers. Can't wait to see them. And then we've got, who else have we got playing? Melbourne versus Carlton. So that's a double header with the AFLW. So the women kick that off at 11:35 a.m. and then the men follow
the
that game. So that's out at Casey. And then we've got West Coast and Frio and Geraldton. You flying across, are you, Danae?
Yeah, Derby and Geraldton. That'll be a bonza.
Then Sunday we've got North versus Hawthorn. Little Cyril might make his first visit to a game.
Yeah,
at Arden Street.
Yeah, how fantastic.
You know, come on, Fee, get him up. Get him there. And then Gold Coast Essendon up in Mackay in Queensland, which I am not attending, but I'll be happily looking at it.
Well, that's a wrap. The final siren's gone on Chicks Talking Footy. Thanks, Tiger. Above and beyond the call of duty today, Bree. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Moddy, love your game as always. Strong defensive efforts. I'm Danae. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and rate and review us on iTunes. Why not? Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.